In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many, if most, saints' days on the liturgical calendar are scheduled on the supposed date of their martyrdom, death, or heavenly birthday. And indeed, John the Baptist has one of those days, I think, in August. John the Baptist's first day, however, is different because of his close relationship with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens that John's conception and birth was 6 months before that of Jesus. So we commemorate him 6 months before the celebration of Christmas, June 24, before December 24. But it's more than cute, because there's a more interesting timing issue between John and Jesus. Remember, it's still going to be some 30 years before John initiates Jesus by his baptism into his active earthly ministry. But taking just the very beginning here, the conception and birth of John the Baptist and Jesus, another interesting and important prophecy from the Old Testament is fulfilled. St. Luke is highly aware throughout his gospel of the significance of the temple as the goal, the true home of Jesus, who himself will complete and replace the temple as now the location of God and his salvation. There's a very interesting prophecy in the Old Testament book of Daniel concerning 70 weeks, which reads, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem in the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in troubled times. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. There are key words in that prophecy. It speaks of putting an end to sin by atonement, of the coming of an anointed one, which of course is the meaning of the word Messiah or Christ. It calls him a prince who shall be cut off, who nevertheless makes a strong covenant with many and puts an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, Dr. Arthur Just, with whom you are somewhat familiar, observes, quote, "With some careful maneuvering, 70 weeks may be counted between the announcement of John's birth to Jesus' presentation in the temple. From the announcement to Zechariah and to the announcement of Mary is 180 days. From the conception of Jesus to his birth, 270 days. From the birth of Jesus to his presentation in the temple, 40 days. Now, you didn't have your calculators out, but all those numbers add up to 490 days, or 70 weeks, from the nativity of John to Jesus' initial arrival in the temple. This observation takes us to the importance and purpose of today's commemoration. It all points to God's plan of the coming of the Savior according to God's own will and purpose, and that purpose is the salvation of sinners through faith in God's gift of the forgiveness of sins, of which we've already heard and received so many times already in today's service. We heard of the miracle of Elizabeth and Zechariah bringing forth a son. And at first Zechariah doubted the Lord, and he was stricken dumb so that he could not speak. When it came time to name the child, Elizabeth said it would be John, a name so unusual in their family that they asked Zechariah, who wrote on a tablet, his name is John, which means the Lord has been gracious. God was beginning to do a new thing. Immediately, Zechariah's tongue was loosed, and we have one of the most beautiful canticles inspired by the Holy Spirit, which the church sings to this day in her morning prayer, the Benedictus. We sang a hymn paraphrase of it to begin today. It was included in today's intro, and you heard it in today's gospel. From the first words, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Now, the first part of that canticle recalls God's past actions and promise of salvation. The second part, however, are words addressed to the newborn prophet of the Most High and his mission. He sings, "You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." This is the way of God, the way of salvation. Even as one of the first names given Christians was followers of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." And this way consists in the knowledge of salvation. And what is that knowledge? The forgiveness of sins. That, before and after all, is what it's all about, all about. Sin is the cause of death and separation from God. The only hope for God's forgiveness is for God's forgiveness, which he provides not by changing his condemnation of sin, but by fulfilling his law. And this happens only through the shedding of Jesus' blood, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Forgiveness is the most important thing. Since we still sin much and daily, even as God's redeemed people, all along the way, we are to hear and receive the gift of forgiveness by faith in Jesus, by hearing his word, by receiving his spirit, his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. He never runs out of his spirit, his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. Today we bring, possibly, a heavy load from sins from this past week, or maybe not so heavy of our sins, of which we are reminded by the Ten Commandments, and also of our own hurting consciences. We bring them here, where the Lord lifts that load today, forgives, and takes away our sin, even as he has before and promises to continue until we reach that heavenly goal. As we are reminded that we are all dying and will die, we are aware of our continued need for God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And this is the place to receive it. Zechariah says we receive it solely because of the tender mercy of our God. And this is where we hear of that tender mercy. So John came preaching the gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came preaching the same message, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so we come here to this place alone where we are given the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. Go then, as God's forgiven people, go in the light of God to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.